Friends, welcome back to another episode of Disciple Henson. I am here in the studio with John Pivarenta and Jeff Liebert. And we are continuing our conversation on the topic of the fear of man. And believe it or not, fear of man is not dealing with the Trailblazers defense, but rather it is a biblical topic.
That hurts, Jeff. You don't need to go there.
we are discussing kind of our own struggle right here with our fallen hearts and the reality that we fear people more than we fear God. Boy, I wish we could go on to talk about the Blazers a little bit more.
No. That hurts, Jeff. Let's not go there.
But no, let's talk about fear of man instead. Well, and actually, that's what we were talking about in our last episode, just kind of unpacking what is the fear of man, the ways it manifests itself in our lives. But for this episode, I want us to think about the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord and how it changes how we interact with other people? Because really, Scripture does present us with that alternative, right? It's we either fear man or we fear God. So, to begin with, what is the fear of the Lord?
Basically, the fear of the Lord is a knowledge of who God is. We can look at that as two different aspects. There's the fear of the Lord of his terror and his dread, the Lord who is the Lord of judgment. And there's the fear of the Lord and a reverent awe, the God who is the creator and sustainer and savior. Mm-hmm. And both of those are aspects of the Lord that we should be in fear of and thoughtful of and knowledgeable about.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of the you know, I think of it in an emotional capacity. It's this amazement, this embracing of really the totality of God as he expresses himself, both the fearful negative of him being our judge, but the delightful positive of him being our provider and savior and lover. And the more that we're caught up in that, I think the fear of the Lord grows.
Yeah, and we see this theme of the fear of God kind of throughout Scripture, don't we? I think of Proverbs that talks about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What are some other pictures that come to mind as we go through Scripture about the fear of God?
Yeah, one of the interesting things that I challenge people to do is just to get a concordance and look at the ways that the fear of the Lord is used, because there's so many present the fear of the Lord as such a joyful and positive thing in our lives. I mean, Psalm 33:18, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, those who depend on his faithful love. How do you trust in someone's faithful love if you're terrorized or afraid of that kind of person? This is Psalm 145:19. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry for help.
Yeah,
you know, just that it's almost it's paradoxical the way that they're put together, but it forces us to open our understanding of fear of the Lord is not the way that we think of fear. It's much broader and more enriching than that.
Yeah. I think of you know, the many instances where people encounter God in the Scriptures, right? I think of God descending on Mount Sinai, you know, Exodus 19. And there, certainly, it's a fearful imagery, you know, with lightning and thunder and smoke and earthquake. And yet, it is God drawing near to make a covenant with his people, right? It is God physically descending to dwell among his people, Israel. And so there you have both, yes, his sort of majesty and holiness, and yet also his nearness.
Yeah, let me throw one more just in light of our sinful condition. Psalm 130:3-4. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. I mean, so it's almost like if I fear God rightly, well, then I'm going to come to him. I'm going to bring my baggage and my sin to him. I'm going to seek his help and forgiveness.
Yeah, even if we just look through the prophets, you see all these men who were sent from God to warn his people, turn and repent or be subject to my judgment. And over, God is warning and saying, I'm worthy of your fear. I'm worthy of your obedience.
Yeah.
And if you don't, judgment comes, and you see it over and over.
Yeah, that's excellent. You know, I appreciate you bringing up the prophets because, you know, these were these bold, you know, men who were sent out from God, who spoke to people who often weren't willing to listen to them. You know, so often when we look at them, we admire them for their boldness, their seemingly lack of the fear of man. And yet these prophets had this huge vision of God, right? And so that we want to connect kind of our understanding of God with how we respond to others. How does the fear of God relate with our fear of man?
Well, we know that Jesus lets us know that you can choose one master. Hmm. You can choose to serve the world, or you can choose to serve God. And I think that's the same choice we have with the fear of man or the fear of the Lord. You can't truly do both. You can't be worried about what people think about you and then be worried on the other hand of what God thinks.
Yeah.
You get to choose one.
Yeah, that's good.
And which master do you value? Which master are you worried about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing off on these ideas of the goodness and benefit of God and fearing Him rightly is a joyful experience. If a proper fear of the Lord builds a confidence and a security in our lives that allows us to not fear other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I can risk, I can engage with other people. Mm-hmm. Their harm to me is very limited, if at all, mm-hmm. in light of the security that I have mm-hmm. because I understand who God is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you used the theme of harm there, but that would apply to all other kinds of longings that we have, right? Whether mm-hmm. it's satisfaction or identity, you know, community, so on and so forth,
yeah.
right? I like a quote that Welch makes. If you have ever walked among giant redwoods, you will never be overwhelmed by the size of a dogwood tree. Right? Or if you have been through a hurricane, a spring rain is nothing to fear. If you have been in the presence of the Almighty God, everything that once controlled you suddenly has less power.
Hmm.
I think that's well said. You know, when we rightly recognize who God is, then all those other things that we are tempted to fear, we realize are just that much smaller. Hmm. Right. So what does it look like for us to grow in this? Kind of, how do you grow in a proper fear of God?
Get to know Him, spend time in His Word, you know, meditate on how He presents His character, you know, in so many different stories, you know, in the prophets, how, you know, how does God present Himself and what do we learn about who God is?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the primary ways.
Yeah. Amen. Anything to add, Jeff?
Yeah. It's interesting that in Scripture, we have this idea that wisdom comes from a fear of the Lord. Knowledge comes from fear of the Lord. But we have to be careful to think, well, what kind of knowledge and wisdom is that? There are many people who might study the Word, but it's a taking it in as something that is edifying. It's the praying over the Word of God. It's allowing the Word of God to actually infiltrate our lives so that it means something, that our lives are affected and changed, which we can't do on our own.
Yeah.
We need the Spirit,
yeah.
but the Spirit uses His Word to give us life.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I can imagine, you know, kind of a self-help group where folks are sitting around. They all are struggling with various issues, you know, peer pressure, codependency, you know, fear, all kinds of fears of exposure and so forth. And yet, you know, and they're all looking for sort of how-to steps, you know, to cope, to get over these fears. But perhaps one of the best things we can do for them is just to come to that group and teach on God, you know, present this big vision of who God is, of His power, of His goodness and love, of how He has come near to us in Christ. And the more people see God for who He is, kind of trust in Him, the more those things that they're struggling with are changed, you know, are shaped by those things. So it really makes me think, you know, it's so often when we're struggling with the fear of man, the best solution is not kind of a how-to program, you know, kind of 10-step program, but rather it is praying that God will open the eyes of our hearts that we would see him more clearly in Scripture, right?
Yeah, fighting against something negative is necessary in a lot of ways, but it's very limiting in its effectiveness if you can present something greater to pursue. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I may want Jeff's attention or approval, but if my mind is focused on the greater good of pursuing the Lord, understanding Him, it lifts our eyes above the smaller issues.
Mm-hmm. I think in addition to Scripture, I think we should just have our eyes open to this world that we live in, you know, especially if we are people who sit in front of screens a lot, you know, to discipline ourselves to walk out into the world and to see kind of this magnificent world that God has made, which is a glimpse of His power and glory. I think that can also cultivate in our hearts a greater fear of the Lord, you know, if we have open eyes for that. Another theme that you guys brought out in your class was just this idea of delighting in God. I normally don't think of delighting in God in connection with the fear of God. Why was that such an important class?
Well, partly a lot of things opened up for me when I did that word study and just discovered how many positive ways that we see the fear of the Lord being used, you know, the joy and life that we get from it. One of the ways that we approached it in the book, in the class, was to think through the prophet Hosea and how he's a picture of how God relates to us. Mm. In that Gomer, Hosea's wife, was a harlot, and she pursued prostitution and pursued attention and approval mm-hmm. from so many other people. Mm-hmm. And how was Hosea called to respond, mm-hmm. to woo her, to mm-hmm. pursue her, to reach out to her? And that's understanding God's love in that way, that we, all of us, look for approval from other things. And God does not reject us in light of that, but rather he pursues us and draws us back to Him. You know, His love is amazing.
Yeah, amen. Which really puts just a different spin on our understanding of the fear of the Lord, right? Once again, not this terrified fear, but a grateful reception, a trust in, you know, a God who pursues us.
Yeah, and if you think of the fear of man, you know, wanting someone's approval, how ephemeral that is and how quickly that passes. Mm. That, yeah, they approve of me today or tomorrow, but what bar do I have to reach? How can I sustain that?
Yeah,
but
amen.
I can't do anything to earn God's approval.
Mm-hmm.
But trusting in Christ has God's approval. Yeah. So if I trust in Him, you know, the door is always open and He's always there for me and pursuing me.
Yeah. 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 If in the gospel we have sort of all the resources we need to be satisfied, you know, fully in God. And it seems like the Christian life is just this constant battle to always going back to a proper fear of the Lord, right? Our hearts just constantly pull us away from that. We want to find our approval in this world. But in Christ, we have all that we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, to beat a drum that we do around here, the value of the Christian community, you know, mm-hmm. God designed that we would experience His goodness in the light of each other. Mm-hmm. So in this world, we feel alone. But if we're embedded with brothers and sisters who are pursuing the Lord together, we have a context for experiencing that faithful persistence of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was thinking back to your comments earlier about the trailblazers.
Don't go there, Jeff.
And we all desire to delight. And so you go to a basketball game, and we're used to delighting in the trailblazers. And if you've been watching them this year, you might feel a little bit let down.
It's not happening.
And if you're a parent, I'm pretty sure you delight in your children, and you know what it's like to be let down. But when we go to scriptures and we read about God, we're never let down. Mm. You read the Psalms and you read about David time after time. He's in a cave being chased by men, and yet even in those moments, he's delighting in God.
Mm, amen.
And just as we think about the things in this world that they always let us down, eventually. But when we look at the character of God, He's consistent, mm-hmm. He is faithful, and He keeps His promises, and we can always delight because He is always the same.
Yeah, amen. So the fear of the Lord, it's not just sort of this ephemeral idea, kind of abstract, but it actually changes us. And one of the ways it changes us is now we can properly love other people, you know, whereas previously before, rather than loving them, we were guided by a fear of man, a desire for their approval. Now we can actually genuinely love people as we ought. How does the fear of God do that? You know, what does love for neighbor look like when one is properly fearing God?
A true fear of the Lord helps us to see that we don't deserve God's love. Hmm. In and of ourselves, we are sinners and rebels, and Christ loved us. And then he told us to love like him, mm-hmm. love like Christ. And if he has shown us so much mercy and grace, we're in the position to love others and to show them mercy in just the same way. Mm-hmm. And so when we act like Christ, when we follow in his footsteps, we love others because they are God's creation, because mm-hmm. they are made in Christ's in God's image.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the ways I think this fear of the Lord really plays out in my life and fear of man is in evangelism, mm-hmm. is this is a good way for brothers and sisters to kind of test themselves. You know, where are they at? If I truly believe that God is that great mm-hmm. and that God has saved me from so much, mm-hmm. What does fear of others, or what does the love of others look like? Well, I'm going to tell them about such a great God. And I know in my life how at times when I have not said something to someone else, you know, about the goodness of the Lord or the gospel, yeah. It's stemmed from, you know, well, I don't want them to make fun of me or maybe I don't want to lose an opportunity that rejection. I may have otherwise. Yeah. So, but if God really is greater, it'll compel me to love this coworker by telling them.
Yeah. Amen. You know, earlier I used the example of, you know, a husband who perhaps feels a need to be respected or listened to. Is it proper for us to talk about our needs, you know, in relationships now?
Yeah, I think we'd be in denial if we didn't. Hmm. I mean, especially in the context of marriage, God has put a man and a woman together for a reason, you know, mm-hmm. and part of that is that they're there to care for each other, mm-hmm. but they're there to care for each other, not in isolation. It's in light of how God has shown up in their world. So, So men are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. So the need is, you know, it's shifted. It's more a matter of what is my wife's need? You know, how can I serve her and love her? Yeah. I think we'd be kind of playing games if I would pretend, oh, I don't really need anything from my wife.
Right.
No, but I think trusting the Lord and his goodness means that I don't need to compel her or force her or coerce her or manipulate her.
Yeah.
I can love and serve her and show her how good God is. Mm-hmm. And in God's kindness, you know, she's quality.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the only way we can do that is knowing that sort of that ultimate need is fulfilled in God, right?
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, we continue to have many needs here in this world, but not in that ultimate sense that leaves us sort of helpless, right?
Yeah, that's where codependency comes up, is that if she has to be my everything, or if I have to get something from her, then she'll never be able to do that, mm-hmm. you know, but God does that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the fear of God really frees us to be able to love like God loves, you know, rather than from a position of need and emptiness, but rather from a position of fullness, you know, having been loved in this way, undeservedly, graciously, and unchangingly, we can now begin to show a similar kind of love to others. What about in our love for, you know, those who might not like us, you know, love for enemies? How does the fear of God change how we deal with, let's say, enemies?
Well, I mean, in some capacity, I think the fear of the Lord builds a sense of resiliency and a strong spine. Mm-hmm. You know, understanding that I'm accepted, approved by God. You know, the world can condemn me, and the Lord is not going to condemn me. You know, I'm forgiven in Christ. What's the nature of the enemy? Why are you my enemy? You know, Christ pursued me when I was his enemy. So why can't I pursue you? You know, so just I think it really can compel us to pursue and persist in patience with our enemies, knowing that in God's goodness, He can make them our friends and brothers.
Yeah. Amen. Anything to add, Jeff?
Yeah, as we think about the character of God, that He is this God worthy of awe. I mean, even if you just go and you walk through Portland, you look at Mount Hood, and you look at the river, and you realize that He didn't make those just for Christians. He made those for all people. Mm. And God, in His goodness, created this world for all people to enjoy. And I think it has to remind us that God means for us to do good to others as He has done good to others. But we're also reminded of the God who is of judgment. Mm. And there's no way that we could wish judgment when others may be able to turn to Him. Mm. And it comes back to John said about evangelism. I think we don't see our fear of man any stronger than evangelism, because we know how hard it is to tell other people about Jesus when we're afraid.
Yeah.
Yet there's nothing they need more.
Yeah.
There's nothing that God wants them to hear more than about His gospel.
Yeah.
You know, last time we talked about the fear of harm and how it is a reality.
Mm.
So even with enemies, there is a reality. So I think there is a level of wisdom that we can apply that if there is a legitimate threat, you know, we don't need to be foolhardy. We don't need to put God to the test.
Yes.
But we can protect ourselves in legitimate ways. Mm. But that's always the question that you have to tease out is like, what am I protecting myself from? What can really happen to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it comes to dealing with opposition, boy, this is something you don't want to go at alone, right? So definitely seek wise, trusted counsel as you guys pray and think about that. But I think both of you are exactly right in that, you know, when you fear God more than you fear your enemies, it frees you not to be a doormat, you know, not to just roll over and let them kind of walk all over you. Not to be controlled by those fears, but to begin to think about what does it look like to respond, you know, graciously for one, but also truthfully, right? The goal being not just to get them to like me, but how can I actually serve them for their ultimate good, right? This person that's coming against me. That's really hard. I don't think that there's easy answers to any of that, but I think it's possible with the fear of God. You know, the end of Ecclesiastes, it ties in the fear of God with obedience. The writer says this: when all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this: fear God and keep His commandments, because this is for all humanity. For God will bring every act to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. You know, this perspective, you know, after the book of Ecclesiastes deals with all this mystery in this world and all this seeming vanity. He brings this perspective that we are to fear God and keep His commandments, that the fear of God really clarifies how we are to live in this world, right? Live according to His word. And certainly that means loving our neighbors, loving our enemies, but it also means a lot of other things. Have you guys been in a scenario where you've had to where you've been tempted not to keep God's commandments, and yet the fear of God really shaped kind of how you responded?
The thing that comes to my mind is just evangelism.
Yeah.
There's other ones where I think if I've done something wrong at work, you know, it'd be easy for me to hide.
Yeah.
But understanding the fear of the Lord, that actually He's sovereign, He's the one I'm accountable to, it would compel me to tell the truth to my supervisor or whatever, something like that. But I've mostly experienced it in evangelism where it's like, I don't want to talk to this guy because, you know, he's scary.
Mm-hmm.
But in God's kindness, you know, when I've had the opportunity to be bold, you know, to talk to people.
Yeah. Amen.
Just in light of this, what you just read from Ecclesiastes 12, you know, God will bring every act to judgment. The idea that our lives are purposeful, that He has a reason. So the encounters that we have are not just random or chaotic. But if I have a person or a situation in my life that I'm prone to fear, to understand that it's there for a reason, for us to say whose side we're on, for us to display, do we trust the Lord, and for God to actually show himself as our Savior, our Deliverer in various situations.
Yeah, that's great. Jeff, anything for you?
Yeah, so I can face this daily. For a living, I prepare taxes. And every day there's somebody who asks a somewhat innocent but maybe probing question to see what they can deduct or what they don't have to include. And there's always that temptation to want to please man, to want to keep a client coming back because you saved them more money.
Isn't Dan Schreiner one of your clients?
He's fantastic.
Okay. Sorry, keep going.
So we can... So every day you're thinking, how can I make more money? How can I be successful in the world? How can I please to other people?
Yeah.
But then I have to go home and I have to live with those choices and I have to live with what I've done. And to be honest, nobody will ever see.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what I've done at work. But I know and God knows and everything will come to light.
Yeah.
I even just think of being a parent, and it's easy to get angry and upset with kids. And again, nobody sees what happens with the doors closed and inside the home. But God knows, there's a peace that comes with knowing that God helps us as a parent, God helps us as a spouse. And as we struggle with making the decisions to love our family well, it's always encouraging to know that God helps us and God is there to encourage us as parents, as spouses, as workers.
No, that's excellent.
Fear God more than Dan.
That's right. You know, when I think about this command, I mean, what listening to you guys, what that reminds me of is just the teaching of Scripture, how what we're after in all these, in how we live life is just faithfulness, right? In every area of our lives, whether it's our finances, whether it's our parenting, our work. So often, what we're tempted to go after is the result of approval, right? People's approval. If people like me, if the community is impressed with our church, you know, if my kids all think I'm the greatest dad, then I feel like I've succeeded. But in fact, I may not have succeeded, right? The goal that I should be pursuing is faithfulness, is fearing God and keeping His commandments. And I think that, more than any sort of pragmatic result, is what should guide our lives.
I like this topic because it really hits us at the point of decision. Mm. It helps us analyze, why would I do this rather than that? Mm-hmm. And it exposes a lot of really our deeper longings and for approval.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, you mentioned earlier how we need a community, and this is where, as a community, I pray that as we are transparent with each other, as we are walking and loving with one another, that one thing that we're doing is pointing each other all towards God, you know, that we wouldn't just sort of scratch each other's backs trying to fulfill each other's needs ourselves, but that we would point one another to God so that He might fulfill our needs, you know, fulfill our greatest longings. I pray that that's the kind of discipleship that's happening here at Henson. And I'm grateful for ways in which I have seen that, where folks have done that for me even. Well, John, Jeff, thank you for being on the podcast. This wasn't too bad, was it? Did you guys enjoy this?
This was wonderful. This was fun.
Even now, I'm looking for your approval.
It's always great to hang out with you, Jeff.
You have my approval, John.
That's incredible.
Even if you do root for the Rockets.
Let's not go there.
Well, we'll save that for the next episode. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.